And it's time for another conversation with the owner and publisher of the Charleston City Paper, a busy guy with the best of voting. Getting ready to wrap up, we say hello to our friend Andy Brack. How you doing, Andy?
Hundreds of thousands of hellos, Richard.
Yeah, you know, so you mentioned that during the nomination process of the Best of Charleston City Paper Awards that you had over 100,000 individual nominations. Is it true that you could be approaching the million vote mark by the time we get to the end of voting Wednesday night at midnight?
Well, let's use your verb there, approach. Yes, we will be approaching that, but we won't hit a million. But we are doing thousands and thousands and thousands of votes more than we have in years. And more people have gone to our website, bestofcharleston.net, and voted. The voting ends at midnight on Wednesday, and we encourage everybody to get their last-minute votes in.
Any reason why you think that's happening?
I think that more people are online. We've seen that in all of our web statistics. And it's just because perhaps the pandemic, people have gotten more used to consuming news and information online than in the past. But we certainly have seen, you know, in our news coverage and events and everything, just more people visiting us on the web. So it's just part of a new habit.
Well, that's great news, and we would love the support of the readers of the Charleston City Paper, you know, radio station, morning show, yours truly, Richard Todd, whatever. And it's just great.
What are you, 107.9?
Oh, you're funny. You're funny. I was going to vote for you for best columnist, but I haven't submitted that yet, so never mind. Anyway, yes, you know what? It is the definitive best of awards of any publication in the Lowcountry because they've been doing it for 25-plus years. And it's just fantastic to have those kinds of numbers and that kind of feedback for people to let their voice be heard for their favorite business, charity, event, personality, radio station, whatever. So that is fantastic.
It's been a lot of fun, and we'll publish the winners on May 12th.
Excellent, excellent. And speaking of May, I know that in the new issue of the Charleston City Paper, there is a look at Spoleto Festival 2021, what to expect, only 25% capacity. Nigel Redden's last year as general director after a 35-year run. It's just great to know Spoleto is going to be coming back in some form.
Yep, Spoleto will be back, Piccolo will be back, and it's going to be good that we have people coming into town to enjoy the arts. It's going to be a different feel. There's not going to be a lot of inside events. A lot of the outdoor events are going to be limited to just a few venues. There's something like, I think, 70 total events with the Spoleto, 70 or 80 total events. Some of them are going to be limited in the number of tickets, like you said. There's 25% capacity at most seated events. Because we're still doing the social distancing and stuff.
Well, you know, and it's a reminder, tickets go on sale on Tuesday, April the 13th at 10 a.m. And if you want to go to anything involving Spoleto, I suggest you get your tickets early since there is a limited capacity. And I saw the Wood Brothers are playing a couple of nights at the Cistern. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band is coming to town. They're using the Dock Street Theater, and they're constructing some other outdoor venues to have events. But there won't be as many Spolations walking around the Lowcountry with only 25% capacity, but it's great to have the festival back, one of the biggest international arts festivals that there is in the world, so it's great to have it back.
And I think you're smart to remind people to get tickets early, because there is such a thirst for live stuff that I don't think that they're going to be around a lot this year.
Yeah, I mean, get tickets early for everything. Anything that's going on in town. They used to say Charleston's a big walk-up town. You can't wait to walk up. You got to get your tickets early and make those plans. But and do we know at all if they're going to have the concert at the Customs House, which they normally do the first weekend, Memorial Day weekend, when it all starts? I'd be a little surprised if they had that kind of crowd down there, because that's always a fun time.
Yeah, I don't think that they're doing that, but I do not know the definitive answer on that.
Well, we'll stand by and wait to see May 28th through June the 13th for a Spoleto Festival and Piccolo Spoleto, which also has wonderful events. And speaking of wonderful events, Wynton Marsalis, one of the great trumpet players of all time, coming to the Gilliard Auditorium April 23rd and 24th. It's the Wynton Marsalis Septet. It was supposed to be a jazz at Lincoln Center, but they reduced the size of their traveling group. And I had the chance to have about a 20-minute conversation with Wynton Marsalis. It was such a thrill, such a great conversation. And I'm so pleased to announce that you guys in the Charleston City Paper are going to run excerpts from that interview in the City Paper before the show at the Gilliard. I'm really flattered about that. Thank you.
Well, you know, I understand you're on a first-name basis with him now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I talked to him, I mentioned the fact that my son was a trumpet player and that my son actually had a master class with Doc Severinsen. And I did not know that Doc Severinsen was a mentor to Wynton Marsalis. And Wynton was so excited. I had mentioned just seeing Jazz at Lincoln Center at the Gilliard in 2018 when they did a show that was the first half was all the music of Leonard Bernstein and the second half was all the music of Thelonious Monk. And they opened up with a piece from Candide by Bernstein. And I looked at my son, and he had that look of amazement and awe on his face. And I told that to Wynton, and Wynton's like, well, you bring that boy backstage so I can meet him, so I can lay the vibe on him. So I can't wait to see what it means for Wynton to lay the vibe on my boy.
Yeah. We're looking forward to publishing, you know, your interview with him because, I mean, he's just a fascinating guy. And I don't know if people realize it, but if they can't get a seat online, they can buy a ticket to watch virtually when he's here in Charleston. So I think that's kind of cool, too.
Yeah, to see that virtually on the couch tour would be really great. And you're right about one thing. Wynton Marsalis is incredibly eloquent. He is very much passionate about the cause of music, education, social justice, and so many other things. And, oh, by the way, he's just an incredible trumpet player. I am so excited for people to hear and read that conversation and see the show at the Gilliard April 23rd and 24th. So thank you guys for running portions of it in the upcoming edition of the City Paper. I really appreciate that. It's going
to
be cool.
Well, you're welcome. We're looking forward to it.
And then, Andy, there is the state of South Carolina and medical marijuana. Now, let me just point out that as the host of the Morning Buzz, who's getting his second vaccine shot on 420, who saw his wife struggle with pain and nausea going through chemotherapy, and who was contacted by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, NORML, to try to change the laws in South Carolina, I am so frustrated. And it's totally predictable and not surprising that medical marijuana is going down in flames in South Carolina.
You know, we wrote a story about that because last week there were all these stories about how the bill passed the Senate committee.
Ooh.
And it's kind of a so what because the right. reality check is we live in South Carolina and it's still going to take a couple of years. It's gaining steam. But they just have run out of time this year. They have to, it's got to get passed by Thursday in the Senate for it to go over to the House.
It's not.
Without a supermajority.
It's
That's not going to happen.
No.
And if it gets into the House, that House is such a knee-jerk right-wing legislative body that it won't get through this year. But I think that it will pass within a couple of years. I mean, even the governor, Henry McMaster, has said that Tom Davis, who is the main proponent of it, mm-hmm. makes a really good case for it, and there may be a way to do it. But it's just not going to be this year. And let me point out, if I may, it's not about the buzz. It's about compassion and empathy for people who are really in pain and hurting. And this is a method that's proven all over the country to relieve suffering.
Yeah, I mean,
what people need to look at it. It's not a gateway drug to start open the drug trade.
Well, I mean, let me go off on a rant here because you've got 38 states in this country that have some kind of medical marijuana or recreational marijuana laws. You've got a large majority of residents of South Carolina who are in support of it. And we've got tons of anecdotal evidence and data from the states that have already done some form of legalization, and we see it's not anarchy and social chaos. And not only that, but you've got people up there who call themselves compassionate conservative. Well, they sure ain't compassionate when they're allowing the pain and suffering to continue when it could be alleviated by something that's been used for thousands of years medicinally, and they sure aren't conservative when they won't even let you decide what to do with your own body. Can you tell I'm fired up about this? Because it's way past time for this to happen, and isn't that what they do every time it comes up in Colombia? They slow play it, they slow roll it, it's too late, we can't get to it now, and they just won't get to it. I got to see it to believe it in South Carolina. Will we do everything else possible before we finally do the right thing?
Amen, preacher. Tell me how you really feel.
It's just ridiculous. Hey, look, when all the money starts going to North Carolina and Georgia in some kind of legalization, then South Carolina will get around to it. I just don't. And the funny thing is those who supported it didn't think it went far enough because it limited to 1,600 milligrams every 2 weeks, which is definitely not enough to alleviate pain and suffering. And it's just the stupidest thing. Or I could say it's just South Carolina.
Yeah, and you know the bill does not allow smokable forms of marijuana to be used in a dispensed form. It's like in gummies and oils and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's way too rigid, way too restrictive, and now, you know, they're not even going to allow it to come to the floor for a debate in the state Senate, and the beat goes on, man, and the beat goes on, so... sorry, I had to get that off of my chest there, Andy, but, you know,
thank you for, essentially writing an editorial that we could write.
Well, please feel free to go right ahead. I mean, we always say show prep for other forms of media in town is available every weekday morning from 6 until 10 here on the Morning Buzz. But this is something I have been talking about for decades on the radio. And I got to see it to believe it, but Andy,
well,
I can't.
I want us to put in,
read
the editorial in the paper today. Because it's about Dawn Staley and the leadership she provides, and I think that's just an inspiration for all South Carolinians. So Sam Spence wrote that editorial, and he did a really good job.
She is great. We are lucky to have her at the University of South Carolina, and that was one of the most brutal, heartbreaking losses I've seen in South Carolina sports history when they went down in the Final Four, man. That was tough. That was tough.
Yep.
But wow, Andy, there's a lot going on. So everybody vote best of... And Andy, we'll talk more about Spoleto when it gets closer. We look forward to reading the conversation I had with Wynton Marsalis, and it's always good to talk to you, even when I dominate the conversation.
All right, sir. Listen, y'all have a good one. Enjoy the best of. Vote at the last minute.
Thanks, Andy.